So what is going on, people? It is the start of a new day here. Thanks for listening. Ireland is with us, and the whole family is together, as Vin Diesel would say. It's me, Ireland, Lindsay, Jorge.
It's all about the family.
F9 comes out tomorrow night, John. You going to be there?
No. Do I get it at home like all the other movies?
No, not this one. This one you got to see in a theater.
No, you're kidding, right?
Nope, absolutely true. Got to see it in a theater.
Is this the first one?
Quiet Place 2 was also this way. So Quiet Place 2 was the first one. F9 is the second one. I mean, who wants to watch gigantic flying semi-trucks?
Me
on
too.
Your home TV? Put me in a theater.
Wait a minute. Was that Michael? Is Michael already there?
No, Michael's not here yet.
Oh, that was you, Jorge?
Yeah. I want to watch it like at home too.
I'm all in on my big screen. In my massage chair. Drinking
I'm there
bourbon.
Tomorrow night. I'm going tomorrow night. I want to see some F9 action.
Am I the only one on this show who has enjoyed all of the previous 8, including Tokyo Drift, which I say is highly underrated? Am I the only one that liked all 8 of the first
one? I checked that after the second one. I was done after that.
Tokyo Drift. What do you mean?
Same.
It just kept getting better.
I'm on the same page as Jorge. Checked out after 2.
Oh, yeah. No. Wait. So did you guys see the one with Tyrese Gibson and Ava Mendez down in Miami?
Yeah, that's the second one.
Yeah.
That was number 2.
Yeah.
Okay, but all the one with the
You're
Rock,
talking about Tokyo Drift, which to me does not belong in the Fast and Furious franchise.
It does just because of that one really good-looking girl. That's it. She cannot act.
That's the only thing.
She cannot act, but she's just super good-looking.
Well, I turned to the Fast and Furious franchise to see some of the finest actors in America.
Now, so Jorge, you and Lindsay have not seen Charlize Theron as a bad guy, or a bad girl in this case.
No, I haven't.
I don't really care. I just feel
what?
Like they jumped the shark after
what?
The second one. Yes.
Wait, how can Mace, you know what they've jumped? They've jumped from cars to planes and tanks and drones. And I could watch, if they do 20 Fast and Furious movies, I'm in on all of them.
Yeah, I am all in tomorrow night. Flying cars, I think, is going to be the thing. And do you have that, Jorge? Do you have the beginning of that trailer? Because I love when Vin Diesel gets all emotional and serious.
The world has a way of changing. And we change, too. I know some people, they would die for me. There are moments that separate us.
Give me a break.
We come back together.
Oh, God.
When we come back together. And the song in the background, by the way, is called Family. So, John, real quick, and we're going to get to the Clippers-Suns game, which was an incredible finish. And also, Michael Thompson's going to hang out with us. But if you go to Twitter right now, I ordered some spider tack, which is the substance that everybody has claimed that pitchers have been using and one of the reasons why they're cracking down and pitchers are undressing. We'll get to that too. But I did a demo with spider tack. It is on Twitter right now, and you cannot believe how sticky this stuff is.
Wait, the best part is that me and Mace were doing the prep call, and he's like, oh, my spider tack came today. And he put it on his hand, and he's like, oh, no, oh, no.
Oh, I can never get this off.
And
you freaked out.
I was like, you didn't think of that ahead of time? Like, if there was a remedy or some type of solution that you need to remove the spider tack? And he did not, of course, think of that.
Yeah, there is sticky stuff all over the place.
No, you need a can of Gooby Gone.
What is Gooby Gone?
You don't have a can of Gooby Gone?
No. What is Gooby Gone?
It gets rid of the goo.
Yeah, true that. It's like
so
orange.
So you need the spider tack and the Gooby Gone to be able to do this bit.
So how did you get the spider tack off of your hand? I'm watching your demo right now.
Baby oil was the thing. I finally looked at the little package.
Oh, and
the
I
little
see.
Can.
Okay, so I can see how this would work because you stuck it to a shelf, and it just very slowly falls off the shelf. So
yes.
if you put just a little bit on your fingers, I could see how it would help you spin the ball.
Oh God, yes.
Hey,
this stuff is way stickier than I thought.
Out of curiosity, okay, I had two questions about spider tack. Number one. What is it? What was its original purpose before pitchers turned it
That's
into a weapon?
Very good question. What is spider tack actually
like,
for?
Like, what is the application? Like, what does it do? All right, so you don't know the answer to that. Number
don't
two.
It says spider tack is a super sticky paste for improving grip. So it sounds like it was created for just this.
It was. It
or
was
like maybe if you're a gymnast and you're like trying to do the parallel bars.
Yeah, maybe
or
that's it.
No, it was developed for power lifters to hold on to like those big, you know, like the big blocks that they use or the stones or whatever they use in like the strongman competitions. That's right. What it originally came from.
So, Jorge and Lindsay, you might be too young, but maybe you'll remember the name Lester Hayes. He was an all-pro cornerback for the Raiders, and he used to use this stuff, which I'm assuming is like the beginning of spider tack. He used to use this stuff called Stick'Em,
yes.
And he would put it all over his hands, so when he would grab the receiver couldn't get away from him. And then it also helped him get a lot of interceptions. So I assume spider tack is like Stick'Em.
Yeah, a lot like Stick'Em, although stickier than I ever could have thought it would be. Stickier than I ever would have thought. So if you want to look at that demo, it's on Instagram at Venice Mace. It's on Twitter at Venice Mace.
By the way, I wanted
to know what it was.
I have a great, I know we're going way off the ranch here.
That's all right.
But I have a great Lester Hayes story that I don't know if I can tell on the radio.
Well, tell it.
Why not? Okay.
Yeah, why not? Do it.
So you know I'm pretty good friends with James Worthy.
Yes.
So Worthy, when he first moved to Los Angeles, I can't believe I'm going to tell the story.
Okay.
All right. Worthy moves to Los Angeles, and he gets an apartment in Marina Del Rey, in this place in Marina Del Rey where a lot of young professionals lived, a lot of athletes, a lot of people that, you know, that had moved in from out of town and didn't know where, you know, kind of, Lindsay, not far from where you're living now. So Worthy realizes a couple of weeks into living there, that Lester Hayes is one of his neighbors. Lester Hayes lives two or three doors down. And he doesn't do this anymore, but Lester Hayes used to be a stutterer. Right?
Oh, like I didn't know that.
He would say like, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, like that. And he's worked his way through it.
Sure.
You know who else used to be a stutterer? This is amazing. Bill Walton. Can you believe that? And he worked through it.
You know who else? James Earl Jones.
No kidding. Okay, so Worthy says he's living there for a couple months, and he's late for practice. He's going over to the Forum to go to practice. And Worthy has been having a lot of parties, all right?
Yep.
And a lot of girls have been coming in and out of his apartment. So he's running to practice, and he's late. And he's in the parking garage, and Lester Hayes grabs him, says, James! And you go, yeah, Lester, how you doing, man? Good to see you. He goes, hey, Lester, listen, I got to run. He goes, what? I got to tell you something. He goes, yeah, what? Just, I got to go. He goes, and he can't get it out.
Yeah,
And then, then finally he goes, bring some of those girls over to my house. He goes, okay, Lester, I got to go, man.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
All right, so last night, John, what a phenomenal game. Phenomenal finish. Wow.
God, they had it. They had it. You know what? When I picked the Clippers yesterday, I forgot the one thing you always have to consider.
They're the Clippers?
Clippers are going to clip.
Yeah, Clippers got a clip.
And they actually played really well. That game went exactly how I told you it was going to go. They developed a defense that stopped Devin Booker.
Yes.
I think Booker was like 4 for 20.
And left Cam Payne wide open most of the game.
And Cameron Payne played really well. But at the end of the game, they had it. So not only
breaking, I'll throw this out there. Phoenix Suns star Chris Paul will return for game 3 of the Western Conference Finals, barring unforeseen setback, league sources tell Chris Haynes.
Okay, good news. I'm happy for CP3. But I think the Clippers may have lost the series last night. I don't know if you can recover from that. So Mace, first, they got out, and we can get into replay later because replay ruined the end of that game.
That's a whole big thing.
But most of the replays went the Clippers' way. And so they get the ball.
Yep.
There's only a few, I think there's 7 or 8 seconds left.
Yep.
And Paul George gets fouled. Now,
and then playoff P rises.
Now, here's the weird thing. Paul George has shot over 200 free throws in his playoff career. You know how many times he's missed them both? Nine.
9 times.
Like less than a 4% chance that was going to happen.
And if he makes both, the game is over.
Well, if he makes
would
both,
need a three
they
to tie.
Yeah. Now, so then it goes to the other end, and the ball goes out of bounds. By the way, the last 90 seconds of that game took 33 minutes. That's how bad the replays were. 33 minutes.
It's a joke.
For the last 90 seconds. Joke. But so they play good defense in the remaining 9 seconds. The ball goes out of bounds, and there's less than a second left. I think it was 0.8 or 0.9.
I never would have thought of this play, ever.
Now, how about this? I'll ask Michael when he comes in if he knew. I've been a pro basketball announcer for 20-plus years. I didn't know you were allowed to go above the cylinder on that pass. Did you?
No, had no idea.
My understanding was, I know in international basketball, there is no above the cylinder. You're allowed to goaltend and block shots and go above the cylinder all the time, like in the Olympics.
And what was the rule in the last 2 minutes? Or no?
No.
On a direct inbounds pass?
Correct. It wasn't a shot. It was a pass. But my retort to that would be, how do we know it wasn't a shot? I guess because it wouldn't count because you can't shoot from out of bounds?
No, I don't think you can. You can't score from out of bounds.
Had the ball gone into the basket untouched, it would have been ball to the Clippers. Dead ball to the Clippers. Clock never starts.
Wow.
But Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy knew the rule. They said, and
knew it right away.
And Monty Williams knew the rule because
Clearly drew up the play.
In the huddle, he said, DeAndre, if he throws it there, you have to dunk it. Because maybe Monty was thinking, if you just try and tip it in, they can throw it out.
Yeah, yeah.
But would that have been goaltending? If Ayton had tipped it and Zubats had knocked the ball out of the cylinder? That's goaltending, right?
Oh, that would be goaltending. Yeah, see, I don't know that
Or
rule.
When the ball was Michael will know all this. When the ball was over the rim, could Zubats have done what Ayton did? Could he have grabbed the ball when it was above the cylinder and throw it out? I guess he could have.
Yeah, right, because there is no goaltending, apparently, on inbounds passes.
And so the tremendous play by Ayton and an unbelievable – by the way, Mace, Crowder threw that pass from behind the backboard. I mean, that's how hard of a pass that was.
Oh, yeah. That was a tough inbound spot, too. And didn't they put Cousins on him, too?
Cousins was on Crowder. He was on the inbounds passer.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And Zubats was on Ayton. And you got to give Devin Booker a ton of credit because everybody thought Devin Booker was getting the ball.
Yeah.
And so he just ran to the middle and set a screen on Zubats. And Ayton went right to the rim.
What a crazy finish. What a crazy finish. It was such a great basketball game.
Except,
and I don't want to rub Clippers fans' noses in this one.
Oh, they're not dead.
It is a tough one.
They're not dead.
That's a terrible way to lose. Terrible way to lose.
Yeah, they're down 0-2, which is the exact same position they've been in the first two games.
This is that eternal question. We'll talk to MT about it. Would you rather lose by an alley-oop with 8.8 seconds left, or would you rather just get blown out?
Michael and I disagree on this. Michael would say he'd rather get blown out. I think you get blown out and it's demoralizing. It's like you were never in it.
Don't you think this is more demoralizing?
No, I think the Clippers know that barring an unbelievable tip-in by DeAndre Ayton, they win that game. And Paul George isn't going to miss two free throws again like that, most likely. At least statistically, it says he won't.
I just got a text from Coach Dave Miller. Dead pass, legal, inbounding. The screen made the play. He says it was really Booker's screen that made the play.
I agree with him. Yeah. But what I don't know is would if Zubats would have gone above the cylinder
and would have intercepted it
and
basically.
Would have blocked it.
Yeah,
is that like I guess above the cylinder doesn't figure on an inbounds pass at all?
Yeah, that's apparently the rule. Apparently the rule. It was a crazy game. It was a crazy game. Really, really good. Can we talk about?
I know. And then the Dodgers lost to the Padres again.
Yep.
And
Caruso, pitchers getting undressed. There's like all kinds of stuff.
Right. And I want to get to replay too. I mean, we may not even have enough show today.
Yeah.
And
no,
Michael's coming in.
Yeah.
I don't think we
have enough time to get to everything, but we will do our best. Plus, John, in 1979 on this date, something. I won't say monumental, but something fascinating happened. Do you have any idea what it is?
In 1979.
This date?
No.
Okay, I will tell you what that
okay,
is.
Breaking news, by the way. A couple people reporting that Ime Udoka, who's a former Laker, played for the Lakers briefly and then went into coaching, is going to be the new coach of the Celtics. He's been an assistant in San Antonio. He's been an assistant in Brooklyn. And a couple of different people reporting that Brad Stevens is in the process of hiring Ime Udoka to succeed him.
Good.
By the way, another African-American head coach. So the NBA is the one league that has no issue with that.
That's great. That's great. All right, more Mason in Ireland coming up next. I want to remind you, by the way, today there's so much going on. Mason's movie night is back. You can win a four-pack of tickets to see the private advanced screening of Marvel Studios' Black Widow with me Thursday, July 8th at the Regal Cinemas in West Covina. We're going to give away a four-pack in the 2 o'clock hour and a four-pack in the 3 o'clock hour. John's going to do the 3 o'clock hour game because I'm super bad at math.
Well, wait. How are we doing it? How are we giving them away at 2 o'clock?
I got a simple way.
No, you're banned.
No, super simple.
No, Lindsay, what do you think?
Let's vote on it. You're banned.
Lindsay, do we dare let Mason try and do another way to give away tickets?
I put the question on the page. I put it. Okay, we'll talk about it. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Golly, Laker fans, root for us.
By the way, I'm still getting Carlo put out on social media Ty Lue's comment saying Mason and Ireland are talking about this. It's like 3 days later, and Laker fans are still mad that the question was even asked.
Yep,
that Ty Lue even asked Laker fans root for the Clippers. Like they think Ty Lue should be institutionalized.
Jorge hit that.
I know the Lakers are out, and there's a lot of Laker fans here. But once the Lakers are gone, if we're not playing the Lakers, you should be cheering for the Clippers. And that's just how I feel, because it's all one city. And I can just feel the love, and you know, I'm just very happy and proud of our guys.
Gosh, can't we all get along?
They had it. The Clippers had that
thing. They had that thing. They had it sealed.
Man.
God, what is this Paul George was having such a great postseason. What if he winds up defined by those two missed free throws?
He won't, because there's two. I mean, now, by the way, this sets up a must win for the Clippers tomorrow night.
Oh, wait a minute. You never say must win.
I know, but they can't go three down to them. You know,
but you would always make the case. Yeah, but that's not actually must win, because you are still alive if you win the game.
Correct, but it's never happened in the NBA. It's happened in baseball.
Yep, happened in baseball.
But it's happened in hockey. Kings did it twice one of the years they won the Stanley Cup. But no one's ever come back from 3-0 in the NBA, ever. So, I mean, somebody will probably do it while we're alive, but it hasn't happened yet.
Okay, John, this day in 1979, this record made its debut. The Knack. My Sharona. I actually went out and bought this album.
I was
bought
in high school album. When this came out, and it was a huge hit. And then
gigantic hit.
It became a big hit again when the movie Reality Bites came out.
That's right.
With Winona Ryder and Ben Stiller.
Yep.
Now, you think The Knack is a one-hit wonder, right?
Yeah, I'm classifying them as a one-hit wonder. I certainly haven't heard any of their other songs. Have you ever heard? Well, you saw them in concert.
At a party.
Hear words you never thought you'd hear. John saw The Knack in concert.
At a party, Derek Hall, who worked for the Dodgers and then filled in for you for 18 months.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Went back into baseball. He now runs the Diamondbacks. Said, hey, I needed somebody to introduce me at a party. He was getting an award. And he said, you and Lisa want to come to the, because Lisa knows Amy, Derek's wife. And so we went down there and hung out with him. And it was at Jane Seymour's house, the actress.
Wow.
Fancy. And she said, at the end of the party, she goes, okay, now for your entertainment, there were about 100 people there. Now for your entertainment, here's The Knack. She hired The Knack to play at a party.
That is so funny.
Here's the thing I'm surprised by you, because you were a radio DJ. You don't remember the song Good Girls Don't? It was number one in Canada.
It was a top 10 hit.
It was, I think it was number 11.
Well, you're ruining the entire bit because we're going to do one-hit wonders today.
Well, okay. Mace, you should have done a little bit better research.
No, but Mace, I'll give you a bunch of other ones. Like the biggest one, when you say one-hit wonder, what pops into my head is Walking on Sunshine. Katrina and the Waves.
All of these, that's a great one. We've got a bunch of them lined up. So we'll come back with those.
This is Good Girls Don't.
Yeah, same album.
Yeah.
Same album.
I think it was the flip side of my show. Remember when you used to buy singles?
Oh, yeah.
And then on the back, there'd be a B-side?
Yep.
I think that might have been the B-side.
Yeah. All right. So the officiating. Let's talk about the officiating.
Well, the officiating wasn't bad, but replay almost ruined the game.
Well, I mean, why does the call on the floor not stand? The last 2 minutes of the game, and by the way, a great 2 minutes. Why does that not just happen in the flow of a game instead of having no less than 5 stop downs for replays?
There were more replays than field goals
last
90 seconds. Last 90 seconds took 33 minutes. I have amended my position on this. As you know, Mace, for years I was saying, you have the technology, just get the call right. I don't care how you have to do it, just get the call right. Michael has argued forever that replay ruins the flow of the game and just get rid of it. And keep in mind, Michael played and won 2 titles in an era where they had no replay. So he was screwed by a lot of bad calls. He doesn't care. He said it's just part of the game. His suggestion, Michael's suggestion, is that you'd have no replay, not even coaches' challenges, until the last 2 minutes of the game. I'm going to try and argue to Michael, just throw it out. Just get rid of it completely, and we'll live with the calls. And the best example, Mace, is the one where Devin Booker was dribbling right, and Patrick Beverley knocked it out of his hands. And they went to replay and determined that Booker may have had his finger on the ball after Beverley swiped it out.
What a joke.
Now, that play happens. I played basketball for the first 40 years of my life. That play happens in every pickup game, every regular game, all the time. You never give it to the guy who had the ball.
No, you give it to the guy who knocked the ball away. It's just logical.
It's off the guy who knocked the ball away. You give it back to the offensive player. And the problem is, if you have replay, you can't really then say, okay, well, it was off Devin Booker last, but we're going to just ignore it and give the ball back to the Suns. Once they go to replay, they have to give it to the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, call on the court stands.
And
call
I've heard people say for years, well, what if you went to a replay system where you had 30 seconds to look at it, and if you can't make the call in 30 seconds, then it just, the call stands. That'll never work because nothing ever happens in 30 seconds.
Right, right.
I say either completely eliminate – and by the way, that was so egregious last night, I think the competition committee is going to consider eliminating replay now.
You think they'll consider getting rid of replay altogether?
Or doing Michael's thing, let's use it in the last 2 minutes. But how about last 2 minutes of playoff games? I mean, I just don't want it anymore.
Yeah. As you like to say, it's an entertainment product. And
right. Can you imagine,
replaying things is not entertaining.
So imagine if for the next 90 seconds on this show, Lindsay and Jorge just replayed something earlier that you and I disagreed about what one of us said. And we just replayed it over and over and over and over and over again until we could determine.
I know what that is. I think that is an example of hell for me.
Right. And that, and by the way, that's how I think a lot of people look at NBA replay. They look at it and go, what are we doing here? 33 minutes to play 90 seconds. I would take it another step further too, guys. I would limit the amount of timeouts you can call in the last 2 minutes. And every timeout you call is a 30-second timeout. Like, you don't go to commercial. Get your mandatories in, and then when it gets inside 3 minutes, when I say mandatories, it's a little inside, every network that buys the rights to an NBA team, like in the case of the Lakers, Spectrum Sportsnet, gets a certain amount of commercial break time.
Right.
So give them those. But in the final 3 minutes, each team gets 2 timeouts, no matter how many you have left. If you saved them up to the end, I don't care. You get 2 timeouts. They're both 30-second timeouts, and that's basically so you can stop the clock. Not. I mean, I don't want to take 33 minutes to play 90 seconds.
No, it's a joke. It's a joke. And I mean, I tweeted this last night at the very in the middle of the final 2 minutes. And I said, basketball is a beautiful game. The last 2 minutes of this one has been a travesty. Replay absolutely kills any flow, and it's bad to watch. I say stick with call on the floor. You think they may get rid of replay altogether?
I don't know if it'll be cold turkey. I think they might amend it with the idea of eventually phasing it out. And by the way, you're a big Rams fan. I'm not so sure I want it in the NFL.
Wait a minute. Mace, you said that you think that it interrupts the flow.
Correct.
You could make the argument, and they were actually making this on SportsCenter after the game, and I completely agree with it, that it actually is a competitive disadvantage or advantage for, you know, whatever said team. Like, for example...
Well, Lindsay, you're right. It happened last night. It gave Monty Williams
about
a chance to drop a play when he didn't have a timeout.
And it also gave them time to rest when they may have been winded. Imagine the other night in the Nets game when Kevin Durant, you know, almost played the whole game again. And in the final seconds, he, you know, his three, with his toe was just over the line. So his three that he thought was a three, it was only a two. Imagine if they had a replay review or a 5 minute replay review in those last final seconds. And he was able to like chill and sit down and catch his breath,
right,
and, you know, get his legs back under him. That probably wouldn't have ended that way. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, would not have ended that way.
We don't
You're
do this in
right.
any other form of entertainment. We don't stop in the middle of movies. We don't stop in the middle of plays. We don't stop in the middle
Boy,
of concerts.
Boy, you have really come around on this.
Because it's entertainment.
So, I mean, but I got a lot of tweets last night saying it's more important to be right.
Yeah, I used to be one of those guys.
To get it right with replay than to let a wrong call stand, even though there is it increases or enhances the flow of the game. A lot of people believe that. Phone lines are always open.
Let's take some calls on this.
877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Is it more important to be right?
Well, okay, let's give people two choices.
Okay.
If your two choices are completely eliminate replay and go back to the way it was when Michael was playing, and that is you just go with the call in the court, or leave it as is. All right? Those are your two choices. Keep going like they're going now, or go back to the way it was before. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776.
And also coming up for you, we've got the wheel of questions. I have no idea what's going to come up on the wheel. I think the wheel is still in need of some WD-40.
Oh, God.
But we will spin it.
Get some Gooby on and put in that wheel, George.
There you go. Get some spider tech. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wow, shots fired.
Yeah, Morales throwing down. Good line. So, John, this is another one-hit wonder. It's a band called Steam. But is it a one-hit wonder when you hear it at virtually every single sporting event?
What song is this?
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Hey.
Who is the group?
The group is Steam.
Yeah, now that's a one-hit wonder.
That's a one-hit wonder, yeah.
Starland Vocal Band, one-hit wonder.
Afternoon Delight.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, so time to spin the wheel. We're going to spin the wheel of questions. We do this every day at this time, and you never know what is going to come up. Jorge claims, now you oiled the wheel?
I did. I just oiled it during the break.
All right,
okay.
So let's hear if it sounds different. Oh, yeah, that's better.
And this is a fun one. Okay, yesterday was National Kissing Day.
Okay.
Tell us about your first kiss.
On a hayride in Sun Valley.
Wow.
When I was 12.
Wow.
Now, being 12, was I late or early for a first kiss?
I don't know. I was 7th grade when I had my first kiss.
So about the same age.
Same age, yeah. So how'd it go down? What was her name?
Leslie. She was, there's a bunch of families in Sun Valley, all families with kids, including my family. And she was a cousin of one of the other families in my neighborhood.
I thought you were going to say your cousin.
No. Wait, do you think I'm from Arkansas? What are you talking about? No, and she kissed me. I did not make the first move.
Oh, really? She made the first move?
God bless her.
You were timid and shy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just minding
nice.
My own business on a hayride. And
hayride in Sun Valley. That is a fancy first kiss. Linz, what about you? First kiss.
Mine was also in seventh grade. And I was rollerblading with my boyfriend at the time. His name was Ramey Goreau.
Yep.
And I went to go home, and he was going his way.
Poor guy, you just outed him.
It's okay. I'm sure he listens to the show all the time. Yeah, so we were rollerblading, and I went to go home. We said our goodbyes, and we kissed, and then I was really embarrassed because that was the first kiss, you know. So I was super embarrassed, so I was just kind of like turned my cheek afterwards, like turned my face, and was just like, all right, I'll see you later.
All right, now this is a dumb question, maybe. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
Mace, was your first kiss with a girl?
Yes, it
okay.
was.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because when I met you, you had a girlfriend.
Yeah, I was with women for 28 years.
Yeah.
Before I switched to the right team. For me, the right team. It was Erin Warren. She was a really, really good friend of mine. We were at Ohio Skate. Every Friday night, we would go disco skating at Ohio Skate. And
Disco skating, yeah.
No, and, I would vote for that to come back.
And after we did a couple skate, I made the move, and it was not just a peck. It wasn't just a peck. I mean, I went deep, if you know what I mean. It was like a full-on romantic kiss.
Do you remember the song that was playing?
Yeah, it was Michael Jackson.
Oh, my God.
Michael Jackson. It was on the Off the Wall album. What was...
Got to be starting something,
yeah.
They played that for a couple skate?
Yeah.
Why not?
Got to be starting something.
That's lame.
Gotta
it's like
be
a,
starting
a love
something.
Song, you know?
Jorge, your first kiss.
Sal's cousin, one of my neighbors, Sal, his cousin Anna.
You kissed
came over.
A guy named
no,
Sal?
No. Sal's cousin Anna. So she came over.
Okay.
She came over to the neighborhood, and we used to swim at Sal's house. And yeah, after one of these swimming sessions, it was like, hey, come here. I kind of like you. Well, I like you too. And then we just kissed. I was like 12, 13 as well.
So 12 must be the age. 12 must be the age that you have your first kiss. All right, there you have it. There's Wheel of Questions. So we're talking about the officiating in the NFL, in the NBA, and whether or not they should get rid of instant replay after the debacle we saw at the end of the Clippers-Phoenix Suns game last night. And let's go to the phones. Glenn in Whittier is online. Glenn, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Those are yesterday's calls, man.
I was going to yesterday's calls. Sorry about that.
So do you have any today calls or no? All right, so we got to give him time to do that. Here's my argument to get rid of replay.
Yeah.
And trust me when I say I was strongly on the other side. I'm going full John Kerry.
Yeah,
here.
You flipped. You're wind sailing.
But the reason I was on the other side is, to me, I thought it was too important to get it wrong. Too much money. I mean, jobs are on the line. Coaches get fired.
Yeah.
Players
yeah.
get cut. Too important to be making the wrong call. But at the end of the day, the thing that that brings in the golden goose is that sports on TV are supposed to be entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
And if this is entertainment, and this is, by the way, Mace, the same reason that, and I haven't been able to get you to come around on the southern one, but you will one day. It's the same reason we shouldn't have a foul out rule in the NBA.
Yeah, I'm never.
No other product takes the stars off the stage.
Yeah, I'm not in for that.
I like the foul out rule.
You like it or you don't like it?
I do like it. I think it's necessary.
Right, but what if, I mean, you could just make it so punitive. If LeBron has six fouls, he can stay in the game, but if he commits a seventh, the other team gets two shots and the ball.
Yeah, you're overcomplicating things.
It's fascinating to watch a star player
sit on the bench with four fouls.
Deal with four fouls or deal with five fouls.
The way they deal with it, you guys, is they take him out and sit him on the bench.
Yeah.
Who wants to watch that?
I'm never going to come around on that. Never going to come around on that.
Eddie in Marina Del Rey says we're missing something. Eddie, what are we missing?
Hey, John. Listen, I got the best song of all time, One Hit Wonders. They never appeared in concert, had a number one song for 4 weeks, even in the UK, and they even took the label off the record when they recorded it. It was the Archies, Sugar Sugar.
Yep,
really?
You're absolutely right.
They never did that song in public?
No, they never were a group. They were studio musicians. Andy Kim wrote it. in 1963, I think, and they never appeared as a group anywhere because all they had was that song. And I think Fox had a contract with a cartoon, and their song appeared in a cartoon from the comic book, you know, and they couldn't appear privately and sing the song.
Wow.
So how could they perform if
That's
they had no
one.
Authority?
Good call, Eddie. Thank you. That is awesome.
And here's the other thing about the refs, John, and why we got to get it right and why it's not right just living with it. John, we just hit $900 million in gambling 2 years ago, and as you know, it's, what, 25 states now.
Right.
I bet on football. In fact, John, football's going to – they're looking at a referee off the field. They're looking at a referee.
Now, this is Eddie. This is an interesting point,
Nate. And by the way, they voted this down at least for this year, the referee in the sky and the skybox with the monitors.
But he's right. Eddie's right about the revenue that gambling brings in. Can we afford – and I mean that literally – afford to allow bad calls?
He's right because now it's $1 billion industry and it's only growing. It's like half of what it probably will be 5 years from now.
Right, but the league has been around for how long, John? Since the 50s, since
right.
the 40s, something like that?
No, the NBA came into existence in the 50s.
We survived without replay for years and years and years.
Right,
and there were still people betting in Vegas and Atlantic City.
Come on, let's be serious. People betting in Atlantic City and Vegas years and years and years ago is nothing like it is now. It's like one of the most we had this conversation, I don't know, a few months ago, that it, like, the betting makes more money than a lot of the sports themselves.
Right, but Lindsay, there's ways to deal with it. I mean, unless,
and by the way, when you slow those down, you're just as likely to be screwed as you are to be helped.
Yeah, it's just stopping the games. Here's Johnny in Long Beach. Hey Johnny, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey guys, love the show.
Thanks.
Long time listening.
So if I gave you two choices, leave replay the way it is now or just get rid of it, cold turkey, Johnny, which one would you pick?
Oh, no. It's absolutely excruciating. My wife was like, you're still watching the game? You need to shut the H up, the baby sleeping, okay? She's like, no way that's still, you know, on. And then lastly, you know, Tyler was crazy saying L.A. fans, i.e. Laker fans, should root for the Clippers now that the Lakers are out. Like, are you kidding me?
Come on, golly gee, yeah. We're all in this together, LA. Let's root for the Clippers.
I think Ty forgets, you know, he lived here for a little while, and then he came back to be an assistant for Doc Rivers, and I think he forgot how much of a Laker town this is. And I don't have anything personally against Clippers. I picked them to win this series. But Laker fans, I know Laker fans and I know Clipper fans, and they are not going to come together. This is, this is one of those things. This is Hatfields and the McCoys.
Man, I can honestly say I only know one Clipper fan personally, and that's Marcellus Wiley. Oh. I don't know in my life anybody else personally that is a Clippers fan.
Have you ever interviewed Billy Crystal?
I just mean among friends. Sure, Billy
right.
Crystal and
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Arash, well, you don't like Arash, but Arash is a Clipper fan.
Arash is a Clipper. He's not a Lakers fan?
No. Remember
Arash and the Clippers are one?
Remember we used to call him Clipper Smurf, and he goes, hey, you can't.
No wonder I don't like Arash. All right, coming up next, 877-710-ESPN. There's so much going on today. Remember that story about the cheerleader giving the middle finger and then being suspended?
Yeah.
The Supreme Court has ruled on that.
No kidding.
I will tell you the ruling coming up next, plus more of your calls, 877-710-ESPN. Yeah. John, this is a band called Aqua. Do you know this song?
No.
Na 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 na. It's an annoying
what
one.
What rock were you hiding under for you to not know this song?
Yeah, this was a pretty big one.
This was everywhere. Probably like 99.
It's called Barbie Girl.
Girl. Yeah, no, I don't remember it.
In honor of Mai Sharona, we're coming back all day long with One Hit Wonders. All right, so I wanted to get this in before we get back to your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. Remember, we told this story about the cheerleader in Pennsylvania who didn't make the varsity cheerleading team. Then she went to Snapchat, and she did not on school property, and she did a profanity-laced message, including F school, F cheering, F everything, F
sounds and like on you. And on.
Yeah, sounds like me. Sounds like Jerry West. So basically, she did that off campus on Snapchat. And once she was suspended, she decided, I'm going to sue. It's a great American tradition. I'm going to sue. And the Supreme Court today ruled in her favor.
So what does that mean?
It means that the courts must apply the First Amendment in light of the special characteristics of the school environment. So because she wasn't on school property, because she wasn't doing this in any official capacity, because it was on a social media platform that really only her people could see, only her followers could see on Snapchat, the Supreme Court ruled that this is a case of free speech. If you're a kid and you're off campus, apparently you're allowed to do whatever profanity-laced, middle finger including message you want to on Snapchat, and there are 9 guys in black robes who will back you up. They're not all guys. Nine
judges.
I think six guys and 3 women will have your back if you decide to do that. So I thought that was interesting that that story wound up that way. Oh! Michael Thompson has arrived. MT, what is going on?
First of all, they are called justices, not judges. Justices.
Oh, good.
Justices, okay. Yes. Thank you for that correction. And
tell him, Michael.
Hey, Lindsay, that's my girl. And number two, I am so sick. Ireland?
Yes, sir.
Before you die, because you're a lot younger than me, so you're going to totally outlast me in this job and affiliate with the NBA. You! It's up to you. It's your responsibility to do something about these stupid reviews.
Oh, Michael, you've won me over.
It's painful.
I don't know if you've been listening to the calls. I've now said, get rid of it altogether.
Yeah.
Did you see it took 33 minutes to play the last 90 seconds?
I know. This is ridiculous. Oh, listen, this is a solution. The Minister of Commerce and strikes again. 2 reviews each half. That's it. And the last 2 minutes of each half. That's it.
I don't even know. I don't think you need it in the first half, Mike.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. Or even 2 in the last 2 minutes of a game. That's it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, destroyed that game. It was a great game.
How could Adam Silver sit there? I'm sure he's watching the game. He's probably at the game and think that this is good for the league.
By the way, Michael, you and I have been doing games for 20 years. Did you know that a player's allowed to go above the cylinder on an inbounds pass?
Oh, yeah. Once the ball from out of bounds. Yeah, that rules. I've known that rule since I was
a kid.
Guess
we're the only ones that didn't
so,
know.
So, Michael, had Zubats gone above the cylinder and slapped it out of there, that wouldn't have been basket interference?
Perfectly legal. Just like my boy, DeAndre Ayton, the greatest the greatest player from the Bahamas ever, could go up and get it above the cylinder. The defender could also swipe
it away. Mike, is that only on a pass from out of bounds?
Yes, only on a pass from out of bounds.
Yeah. So if it was a lob from half court, he wouldn't have been allowed to do what he did.
That's right.
Wow.
Because if it was over the in play, it's offensive goaltending right over the basket like that.
Okay.
Right. Now, internationally, you can do it all the time,
can slap
right?
It off the glass.
Is that the only time in the NBA you're allowed to do it if the ball's coming in from out of bounds?
From out of bounds. Yeah. In international basketball, you can slap the ball off the rim. I wish the NBA would adopt that rule. Makes the game more fun.
All right, so did the Suns win that game or did the Clippers lose it?
Clippers lost it. All Paul George had to do was make 2 free throws.
Make 2 free
Even
throws.
Even one.
Yeah.
Well, playoff P!
Well, he had he's been playing well.
Wait. His new name, according to a bunch of people on Twitter, is Way Off P.
Way Off P!
That's cold.
I like that.
Man. Paul George has been playing well in these playoffs.
Hey, MT, let's get a couple of calls in. Let's go to Alex in East L.A. Alex, you're on 710 ESPN. What are you doing, man?
Trebek.
Hey, Alex. Nope, moving on. Let's go to Brian in L.A. Brian, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up? Can you hear me, guys?
Yeah, Brian, gotcha. We got you.
Excellent. First of all, I want to plug Mason for his podcast. I worked on Perry Mason as a location scout. I want to hear his interview with Tim Van Patten, but I got two things to say.
Yes.
Number one is, why not just have two coaches' challenges? That's it for each team. They get two for the full game. No other reviews. That's one. Number two, you know, we should give the Clippers some love. We don't have to root for them, but they got rid of the worst owner. They've been through so many heartaches. If they end up winning, which they probably won't, we should have two parades in one this year. Lakers go first, Clippers second, same day.
Now, you win the award, man. You win the award, Brian, for the stupidest idea ever.
Brian, the Lakers don't. Yeah. The Laker fans don't want to share anything with the Clippers.
Oh, man. But it's L.A.
Are you a Clippers fan, Brian?
No, I'm a converted Lakers fan. I'm from Portland, and I had Michael Thompson's card from Franz Bakery when I was a kid.
Nice.
That's
nice.
All right. So, by the way, yes. Brian, you think the Lakers could still have a parade even though they didn't win it this year?
I mean, I wish they could because they deserve it, right?
Right. Yep.
So I don't know how that's going to work out.
No, yeah. Too late.
Yeah, the moment's passed, right, Mace?
Yeah, the moment passed. Yeah. The moment passed.
Wait, Ireland, do you think
they could still have a parade?
Well, I don't know if it's a parade, but last time I heard they wanted to do something with the fans. I don't know if they've given up on it or not.
You said it in two syllables.
I know Mason's like giving me an. I'll go back to saying it. I'll call it a parade.
Parade.
Yeah.
Parade.
Just so I can protect the bit.
A parade. It's a great
bit. Okay, Michael, what about the guy that called, and I think this is an interesting point, that said there is so much money in gambling in sports now, particularly on football games, but also in the NBA, that if you're a gambler and you bet $1 million on Phoenix to win and they make a bad call, doesn't that wreck the gambling aspect of sports?
No. I mean, no, it won't stop gambling. But the leagues cannot be concerned. They cannot be concerned with who's gambling on what. Then you start impacting the games. No, the NBA, the NFL, baseball, they don't pay attention to all that stuff. That's totally independent of the NBA.
Plus, Michael, we've survived 67, we probably survived 60 years without replay,
right,
and everything was fine. It's really the last decade that we started, and now it's gotten out of control. And I think last night was so bad, it's going to make the league rethink replay.
And it's made officials, I don't want to use the C word, cowards, but they're scared to make a call and stick to the call. Oh, last 2 minutes, we better go check the replay because I don't want to be, you know, wrong when it goes back up on the replays and all over social media later. So they makes them even more paranoid about going over to replay.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I almost felt bad for Scott Foster.
Why?
Because he kept having to go over. Oh, they couldn't trust any of their calls.
I know. Like, they don't trust their own eyes.
Yeah, they don't trust their own eyes is right. All right, coming up next for you is Fast Track. MT's hanging out. We got Radio Tinder at 2:45. Make sure you stay here, 710 ESPN.